Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by Stemline Therapeutics, we had the pleasure of speaking with Francois Clement Bedard, MD, PhD, about the FDA approval of elacestrant in patients with estrogen receptor positive, HER2 negative, ESR1 mutated, advanced or metastatic breast cancer. Dr. Bedard is a professor of medicine at the Institut Curie and University Paris-Saclay, head of the Translational Research Group for Circulating Cancer Biomarkers, and co-coordinator of breast cancer research at the Institut Curie in France. On January 27, 2023, the FDA approved elacestrant in postmenopausal women or adult men with ER-positive, HER2-negative, advanced or metastatic breast cancer harboring an ESR1 mutation who have progressed on at least one line of endocrine therapy. The regulatory decision was based on findings from the Phase 3 EMERALD trial, in which patients who received elacestrant had a median progression-free survival of 3.8 months versus 1.9 months with control endocrine therapy. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Bedard discussed the significance of this approval, key efficacy and safety data from the EMERALD trial, and the importance of testing for ESR1 mutations in patients with ER-positive, HER2-negative disease. Talking about the FDA approval of elacestrant in ER-positive, HER2-negative, ESR1-mutated, advanced or metastatic breast cancer, just to start off, what is the significance of this approval?
Let's say there are two levels. First, for the drug itself, that's a very good news because it's a new drug that is coming on the market and that will fill an unmet need for many patients. Then, let's say from a drug development perspective, it is also very interesting because it is the first drug in its new class that is the oral SERD, so the selective estrogen receptor degrader, and many of them are being developed. And now we know that with this first approval, that this drug can make it to patient. And I think that's a very significant signal that we can increase the efficacy of endocrine therapy.
Diving into some of the details here, what were some of the key efficacy findings from the EMERALD trial?
Yes, so in EMERALD, we had almost 500 patients that were randomized between standard of care and elacestrant. Of course, it's very important to remember the inclusion criteria before moving to the efficacy. All patients had to be pretreated with CDK4/6 inhibitors, and most patients have received either two lines of endocrine therapy at the metastatic stage or one line of chemotherapy, which was also allowed. So these patients were heavily pretreated. Interestingly, so you had two subgroups of patients that had an ESR1 mutation, so a mutation in the estrogen receptor gene detected in circulating tumor DNA prior to treatment start, and those without ESR1 mutation detected. And the FDA approval is only for the patient with these ESR1 mutations that were detected, so which accounted in the trial for about half of the patient population. So in this specific population, the ESR1 mutated specific population, we observed an hazard ratio of 0.55, which is a 45% reduction in the risk of progression or death during the trial, and the 6 months PFS rate was somehow 40% with elacestrant versus 20% with standard of care, so a doubling in the number of patients who could reach the 6 months landmark. And looking at 12 months, so a bit later, so 1 year, proportion of patients that were progression-free at 1 year was about 26%, so one patient out of four were able to make it apparently to 1 year, whereas only 8% of patients treated with standard of care were still progression-free at 1 year. So these long-term landmark analyses are really telling you that endocrine therapy can work in a subset of patients. And so these were the main take-home messages from the main EMERALD trial.
How did patients' prior treatment, particularly with CDK4/6 inhibitors, influence the efficacy of this agent?
Recent subgroup analyses have shown in EMERALD that the benefit of elacestrant is strongly influenced by a PFS in first line, namely the duration of CDK4/6 inhibitor treatment. So patients who received 6 months or more of CDK4/6 in the first line had a PFS with elacestrant of median PFS of 4.1 months. Patients treated with standard of care had a median PFS of 1.8 months. So you can see there is a difference. But if you focus on the subgroup of patients who received CDK4/6 inhibitors for at least 1 year, and you know that in common practice, most of patients will receive CDK4/6 for more than 1 year in the first line. So these patients had a median PFS of 8.6 months with elacestrant versus 1.9 months with standard of care when they had an ESR1 mutation detected prior to treatment. So it shows you, and it is very important to understand that in patients who received more than 1 year of first-line CDK4/6 inhibitor, if they have an ESR1 mutation, then the median PFS with elacestrant was 8.6 months, which is very acceptable for an old drug and is very likely to be widely adopted by clinicians all over the world.
What notable adverse effects were seen with elacestrant?
In terms of adverse events, the main paper reported that elacestrant was well tolerated, and that was expected. At the end, these are endocrine therapy agents, so with limited toxicity. Main toxicity was nausea and vomiting in patients, but remained at a low grade for most patients. There was also some fatigue that was noted, as well as a decreased appetite or alitalgia, but again, most of this toxicity was low grade. So overall, my experience as part of an EMERALD investigators and also based on the data we have, I think we can consider this drug quite safe and easy to propose to patients.
How does this agent fulfill some unmet needs in this specific patient population?
So in terms of unmet needs, you can see two different strategic options. First, you can find this patient who had more than 1 year exposure to CDK4/6 inhibitor in the first line. And if they have an ESR1 mutation, you could remember that the median PFS is of about 8 months with elacestrant given as single agent in the second line or third line setting. So I think this kind of PFS is very satisfactory in the second line, given the very easy toxicity profile of the drug. So in that setting, I would consider elacestrant as a very reasonable option. The other way to use elacestrant could be later on also in the disease, because we all know that our patients, at some point, when they are treated with multiple lines of therapies, they could develop an ESR1 mutation, but they are also willing sometimes to have a break from the hospital. And we don't have so many old drugs that could be given to our patients. So I think that at one point or another, pending the detection of an ESR1 mutation, most, if not all, ESR1 mutated patients will probably receive elacestrant in the year to come. In terms of future development, EMERALD is the first step of development for elacestrant. And since it has shown its efficacy as a single agent, now the future is combination with new agents that we know can increase the efficacy of endocrine therapy, such as CDK4/6 inhibitors, but also mTOR, PIK3CA inhibitors. And also, company has apparently announced clinical trials in the adjuvant setting.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, sponsored by Stemline Therapeutics. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.